మాలాసుదాం కుంభ విబోధముద్ర విద్యావిరాజత కరవారిజాతాం అపార కారుణ్య సుదాంబురాశిం శ్రీ శారదాంబ ప్రణతోస్మి నిత్యం. విత్ బెనిడిక్షన్ ఫ్రమ్ జగన్మాత శారదా పరమేశ్వరి భాగ్దేవి సరస్వతి యాజ్ షీఈస్ బీంగ్ రెఫర్డ్ టు దట్ రిపాజిటరీ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దట్ ఈస్ కల్చర్ నాలెడ్జ్ ట్రెడిషన్ విజ్డమ్ ఆర్ట్ లెర్నింగ్ ఫైన్ ఆర్ట్ ఐ బో టు హర్ యాజ్ ఐ కమెన్స్ మై అడ్రస్ టుడే. ఇట్ గివ్స్ మీ గ్రేట్ ప్లెజర్ టు వెల్కమ్ యూ ఆల్ to this pleasant function organized this evening as a thanksgiving function to the teaching and the non-teaching staff of the SIES College of Art, Science and Commerce and the SIES College of Commerce and Economics for the stupendous results that they have achieved in the accreditation process that was conducted recently of not only maintaining the rank that they had in the second cycle, also surpassing it in the case of SIES College of Art, Science and Commerce. The first cycle assessment always poses a big challenge because the institutions are not aware of the deficiency as perceived by a third eye outside the system. The second cycle assessment that NAC carries out is relatively easy because you are aware of your deficiencies, you would have cured your deficiencies, you will be waiting for the NAC team to tell you more deficiencies as you gather dust along the way. It becomes easy, therefore, relatively, in the second assessment. The third cycle assessment poses a great challenge. With almost around 10 to 12 years of experience in assessment accreditation that is behind you, the goalpost is shifted, the benchmarks are lifted, and the peer team expects higher degree of quality out of the ordinary to be with the institutions as they rank them. And the greatest challenge is when you come to the four cycle assessment, 20 years, two decades of experience of assessment, when not only, as I said, in the third cycle, but the goalpost is shifted in the fourth cycle, the image, the perception is all changed, and the inspectors would look at you as a national institution and look for those standards of quality that behove well for a national institution. It is in this context of assessment that we are celebrating the assessment ranking that has been given to these institutions. A score of 3.02 out of 4, almost maintaining the score that was achieved in the second cycle, despite severe constraints of space, is a commendable achievement as far as the SIES College of Commerce and Economics is concerned. The College of Art, Science and Commerce has belied the expectations, has moved away from 3.14, which is the ordinary as far as this multi-speciality institutions are concerned, to the level of 3.51, which is a quantum leap compared to the quality that was assessed in the last cycle. It is this stupendous efforts that have been put into that have brought the institution to limelight that we are celebrating today. There are around 713 universities in this country and about 35,539 colleges. That was as on 31st of March 2015. I don't know, the numbers would have gone up after that. And of these institutions, just about 130 universities and about 3,654 colleges have been assessed by NAC. Just about 10% of the colleges and about 15% of the universities have been subject to assessment by NAC during the period that NAC was formed and is in vogue. Far, far cry from a government-ministered, administered, controlled quality checks on institutions of higher learning which claim legally to be imparting education in this country. And of these colleges that have been assessed and the universities that have been assessed by NAC, there are only 948 colleges and about 76 universities which have reached certain levels of acceptance of quality, namely the A ranking, the ranking of 3 out of 4 in today's context that has come on to them. This is just about 26% of the colleges that have been assessed. That means only one out of the four colleges that have been assessed is fitting the bill and has come to levels of acceptance for imparting education in the country. There can be no better story than this to tell you the sorry state of affairs of higher education in India. And of these institutions, there are hardly about 15 universities and 76 colleges which have breached the threshold mark of 3.50 to come to this level. Of these, 15 institutions are in Maharashtra and 9 are in Mumbai, including the SIS College of Art, Science and Commerce, which has come to this level of 3.51. And as Dr. Harsha Mehta rightly told you, of the colleges offering multi-faculties, there are only 4 in the city, and SIS has rightly taken its place within these 4. It is these efforts of these institutions, in the context and in the backdrop of the quality administration in this country, that we are rejoicing today. Quality is a defining element of education in the 21st century, given the context of social realities. The communication information explosion, or the revolution that we are seeing today, the knowledge society that has been created, the economies that have come out of them, and the liberalization that is already in vogue, have had a tremendous influence or an impact on what I can borrow from Peter Drucker to say of the next society. This next society that is emerging is an highly complex, highly networked and structured society which gives primacy to quality in every human endeavor and every activity that forms part of the society. The Millennium Development Goals of United Nations 2002 has accorded very high priority for quality education as a means, as a tool for the economic and the social progress of the nations. The challenges before developing economies today is how to provide high quality education to the large mass of people who are seeking higher education at affordable costs. It is accessibility, it is affordability and quality which are the 3 main challenges facing developing economies all across the globe. And it is equally true that even developed economies have started facing the challenges of meeting the expectations of the society towards higher education. We are what we are, what we do repeatedly. Excellence then is not an act, but is an habit. If excellence is an habit, it is fomented, it is sown, it is grown in the minds of people. There is a thinking that quality is a function of resources. It is resource specific. Unless you infuse large amount of funds into the system, quality is not a byword. There is some degree of truth, very marginal degree of truth in what is being said about resource specific quality. But the fact remains, if excellence is sown in the minds, quality, which is the sister of excellence, is equally dependent on the mind. And this mind travels to the attitude. Attitude plays a pivotal role, the most important role, as far as promoting quality consciousness in any environment, leave alone higher education in the country. It is this mind that is getting tuned to allow a certain standard and degree of acceptance of doing a task different from the conventional, the ordinary, that is being done. Pundits, experts in education always advocate total quality management as a panacea for all the ills that plague the higher education system. TQM as a process is not one which is applied on a particular segment of an activity. It is in totality that it is being applied. India is the 3rd largest service provider for higher education, next only to USA and China. And sadly, there is not even a single institution in this country which comes within the international standing, within the first 100 institutions, the globe over. The IITs and the IIMs of which we are proud come very distant back, around 200 ranking in the International Committee of Assessment of Institutions. It is only when you promote quality at every stage of education, practice it religiously, make it mandatory to do things differently than the ordinary, it's possible to generate institution of international standing in this country. Otherwise, we can be proud of what we have, but oblivious of the fact that world over standards of education are going up phenomenally. TQM certainly is not the panacea for all the ills plaguing the higher education system, but it has a great role to play in ensuring that quality is promoted at all levels. TQM itself is very complex because the expectations of the stakeholders from TQM is different from different people. For example, a student desires the best of infrastructure so that he is able to draw maximum from the reservoir of knowledge that is provided by the institution. As far as the governments are concerned, they start counting the number of architects, the lawyers, the scientists, the doctors, the engineers who are brought into the system. Industry always looks up to education to provide the degree of flexibility so that the graduates who pass out are tuned to the realities in the marketplace and in the shop floor, and therefore with the least gestation they can get inducted into the industry. So with these type of expectations coming from different people, like the blind man and the elephant, TQM poses the greatest challenge. TQM is just not limited to an activity. It covers processes, it covers products, it covers services. If products, processes and services are covered, the outcome that comes out is a very high level of customer satisfaction. And a very high level of customer satisfaction would ensure an attitude change, even in the persons who had initiated the change. There is a welcome, the change in them, that all the efforts that they have put in are bearing fruits. So you started with attitude as fundamental for bringing in quality, and you end up with enhanced attitude coming out of implementing quality systems in any endeavor that we follow. One of the key elements of assessment of the NAC peer team over the last three cycles, as far as the SIS institutions are concerned, are the absence of high quality research in the campuses. And the direct fallout of this is less of industry linkages, and therefore still less of understanding with the industry to at least carry on applied research, if not basic research, and convert them and commercialize them after patenting, so that the revenues generated can be shared and the range of services that are provided by the institution can be expanded. Well begun is half done. A journey of 1,000 miles starts with the first step. And that step was taken by SIS several decades ago. Thanks to the inspiring leadership provided by the principals of Esteriers, the teaching staff of Esteriers, there has always been an atmosphere in these institutions which is conducive for a spirit of inquiry and an inquisitiveness that got loaded into the institutions. And I think these are fundamental for research. Absence of inquiry, absence of inquisitiveness, no research can be done, whether applied or basic or otherwise. It is thanks to the leadership provided by them that this is already existing in the institution. All that is required is to exploit this environment that is prevalent in the institutions and take the next steps to move to the next orbit where meaningful research can be done so that the nation can be benefited, students can be benefited, and institutions of course will gain from whatever is being done. The SIS College of Arts, Science and Commerce, which has a legacy of now over 54 years, has applied for autonomous status last year in the month of November 2014. After that blitzkrieg which came from the university promising that the entire autonomous applications will be fast-tracked and completed in 6 months' time, including approval from the UGC. There is always a wide gap between what the university says and what the university does. But one thing is certain, the university does. And when the university does, you will have to wait for your turn to come. And I am sure and I am confident that the SIS College of Arts, Science and Commerce will secure its autonomous status on its own strength and right. Getting the autonomous status for the college is again not a solution. You may get the flexibility to tweak the syllabuses and bring in some new programs, value-added courses, which may be student-centric, which may also be revenue-oriented, which may provide the required resources to provide infrastructure in the colleges, but by itself it's not going to answer the demands of the stakeholders in education. So what is basically required is, even when you get autonomy, the number of research outputs that will come from the system cannot be guaranteed. The fallacy lies elsewhere. Because if we were to have teachers who put in around 20-30 hours of teaching hours, where is the appetite for research? Where is the time element that is available to you to think creatively and bring out things, including monographs or reprints or seminar proceedings or symposiums or whatever it is, which are in the rudimentary stages of research application? It is impossible to do unless the government of the day and the universities also were to create a cadre within all institutions, aided or otherwise, to have research associates with just about 10 to 12 hours of teaching hours per week, so that some meaningful research can be carried out. Whether the university or the government does it, we have taken the first steps. In some of the colleges, we have started with this concept of research associates with 10 hours of teaching load per week. And we believe the results are good, and therefore sooner or later we'll have to extend it at least to the non-aided components of our activities, and pray that one day wisdom will come onto the government to apply it in the aided courses as well. As far as the task ahead is concerned, there is plenty. The SIS Nehrul College of Arts, Science and Commerce is waiting in the wings. Rita Basu is there for assessment to be done next month. There is a challenge before her that she should also have the A rank like the other two colleges which have been subjected to this rank. The SIS Graduate School of Technology has been accredited by National Board of Accreditation long time back. For almost all the courses of this college have been accredited. The SIS College of Management Studies has already submitted itself to international accreditation. The International Council for Accreditation for Business Schools and Programs has already started the plenary work on SIS College, and this will be the first institution in the state of Maharashtra to get this international accreditation by September 2016. And I am sure that will inspire several other institutions to follow, but a beginning has already been done. Probably we are one of the very few institutions in the country which are privileged to do more on research, but we have never done. We have failed ourselves in the bargain. The SIS institutions have been approved as a scientific research organization by the Department of Scientific and Industrial Research way back 15 years before. A 15-year period has not brought about meaningful research from the institutions, except in the School of Environment and the School of Packaging, which have contributed something to national good. We are again one of the only institutions, probably in Maharashtra, I don't think there is any institution even in India, might be one or two might be there, which have been given 200% exemption from tax for contributions for research of these institutions under Section 3512 of the Income Tax Act 1961. I don't know what more we need. Donors will get 200% exemption. We are an approved institution for SRO, therefore funding can come from the Department of Scientific and Industrial Research, and yet the singular reason being the teachers are engaged only in teaching. They need time to come out of it to do that, and I am sure we will find a way out so that all these strengths that SIS has got will be exploited, so that we can go to the next orbit as far as research is concerned. The Managing Council of the Society at one of its recent meetings has decided to constitute a research council under the joint convenership of Dr. R. Chidambaram, Padma Bhushan Dr. R. Chidambaram, Principal Scientific Advisor to the Prime Minister of India, and Padma Bhushan Dr. K. Kasturi Rangan, the former member of the Planning Commission in charge of education, and the erstwhile chairman of ISRO, again a student of our own institutions. Every project, minor or major, that the teachers would be willing to pursue as far as research is concerned will have to be sieved through the filters of these people, who I shall also induct, experts in social research, experts in humanities, in arts, etc. And every approved project will be secured for funding by the society. 2 crores grant every year will be given across to the council so that they can approve projects. This is over and above the minor and the major projects grants from the University of Mumbai and the University Grants Commission. And I think this will provide impetus to the teachers to change course and engage themselves in serious thinking and reflection on teaching in the years ahead. Quality is not a static process, as she correctly said. I think it's not even dynamic, it is super dynamic. If we are reaping the harvest of the accreditation that we have received today, I think it is thanks to the work that has been put in right since the inception of these institutions. To the principals of the institutions, to the teaching, the non-teaching staff of the institutions, who I had earlier said had contributed to an ambience, had also contributed to quality accreditation in our campuses. But for them, we would not have reached this day, even though there is no denying that the present folk of teachers and non-teaching staff have worked ceaselessly over the last 5 years to bring this level of quality. However symbolic it may be, I think this accreditation richly, rightly belongs to the former principals, the teachers and the staff of these institutions of ours. It was their vision, it was their expectation. They were probably waiting for a day when such things can happen in the institution. Today when it has happened, it rightly belongs to them. We are beholden to them for their contribution, and more so for some of the principals who have come today, who are present here today. Age has caught up with all of them, as the face can show, but the enthusiasm I don't think has gone even one bit lower than what we had seen when they were sitting in the chair managing these institutions. It is to their credit that we are celebrating this day today. As I come to the end of my journey today, this evening, I had traversed several facets of quality into excellence, gone into domains which I believe are relevant for the institutions in the years ahead. This long journey in the superhighway to excellence cannot be an ekla chalo. Tagore did not mean ekla chalo for such journeys. This is a collaborative effort. Unless there is cooperation and co-ownership or co-partnership between all the stakeholders of these institutions, the pinnacle of quality is a distant dream. Together we can make a difference. Together I think we can walk faster on the superhighway. Might we reach the immediate goals of the institutions earlier than what we would have done when two or three of us will go together. And this togetherness is the hallmark of quality. And once we set those standards for the world to follow, that this is an institution where innovation comes even from a student who enters the institution for the first day, and the non-teaching staff who may not be directly involved in education, they also think differently. This process of thinking differently has commenced, this journey has begun, and I am sure with the grace and the benediction of all the elderly teachers and staff of these institutions who are around with us, and those who have departed to the world beyond and whose blessings are still around with this institution, I'm sure we'll cross miles and reach a stage where we'll be far more happier than what we are today. Thank you.